We are now in the book of Jude, and for those of you who are just joining us, we went through an entire two verses, and I think we're just going to get through two more today. But for those of you who don't know, Jude is the shortest book in the Bible, or one of the shortest, 25 verses long, and only about 613 words. It's a very small book, almost never taught, because there's a lot of hard things in here, a lot of warnings, but I think the warnings sometimes are good. They're not pleasant, they're not fun to hear, but it's something that we need to hear, and we need to receive. And so when we look at verses 1 through 3 in the book of Jude, we're seeing that it's written about the friends of the Lord, those who are believers in Jesus Christ. When we look through verses 4 to 19, they're written about the enemies of the Lord, those who are going to reject his heart, reject his word, reject his spirit. And then in verses 20 to 25, they're written about the victory that we have in the Lord. And it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. Now, it starts off in verse 1, Jude, a servant of Jesus and a brother of James. Now, Jude was the half-brother of who? That's right. That's the Jude. There's about six of them in the Bible in the New Testament, and this Jude, or Judas in Greek, Judah in Hebrew. And so he was one of Jesus' half-brothers. We talked about that last week. And it says he was the brother of James, and that's not the Apostle James. That was also a half-brother of Jesus. He became a leader in the church in Acts chapter 15, and he was a servant. That's how he identifies himself, not as the half-bro of Jesus, but as a humble servant of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And that's what we need to do. We need to remember who we serve always. We must decrease, and he must increase in us, and we need to be serving him. And so we talked all about that. We talked about to those who have been called, verse 1 says. And that word in Greek is kletos, and that means invited, appointed, called. And we talked about answering the call and not putting him on hold, not rejecting the call. Because when he calls you, it's a beautiful, amazing, purposeful life. And so to those who have been called, it goes on to say to those who have been loved. And that's agapeo, and it's beloved, dearly loved. And God showed us this love. Romans 5:8 says, by his great love for us, the same word for sending, by sending his son Jesus Christ to die for us, that while we were yet sinners, before we even received that salvation, he sent his son to die for us. That's amazing to me. And it says to those who are not only called, not only loved, but those who are kept. And that word in Greek is tereo. And that means to guard, to watch over, to care, to carefully keep and preserve. And that's what the Lord does to your life and to my life once we are found in Christ. And 1 Peter 1:4 says we have a priceless inheritance, an inheritance that is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. Hallelujah for that. Amen? Amen. Amen. All right. So we were kept for Jesus Christ. And then it says, grace, mercy, and love be to you. And we talked about how the Lord is merciful every day, how we get peace with God and peace from God. And then we also talked about his love, and because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. Whew, I love that. I love it. So now we are in verse 3 and 4, and I have so many scribbles in my Bible. It's everything kind of the Lord's taught me, so I'm going to try to read it as best I can. All right? So let's look at our Bibles together, starting in verse 3 in the book of Jude. So make sure your Bible's open. If you don't have a Bible, you can raise your hand, and Miss Lisa will deliver one right to you if you need one. If you don't own a Bible, let us know, and we'll provide one for you free of charge in Jesus' name. It starts out, dear friends, although I was very eager to write to you about the salvation we share, I felt I had to write and urge you to contend for the faith that was once and for all entrusted to the saints. For certain men whose condemnation was written about long ago have secretly slipped in among you. They are godless men who change the grace of our God into a license for immorality and deny Jesus Christ, our only sovereign and Lord, or our only master and Lord, some of your translations will say. So, yes. All right, so here's where we start in this verse. It starts off, and I love this, it starts off in Jude 1:3. It starts off, dear friends. And I really love how Jude starts this letter off. He's writing to the believers. He's writing to those who have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And in one sense, this was Jude writing to believers back then. Okay? We all get that, right? This was a letter written from Jude to them. However, in the same way, it was personal, it was real, it was applicable, but it's also, because it was inspired by the Holy Spirit for all of us. This wasn't written just for Jude. You get that, right? I mean, for the folks back then. This was written, inspired by the Holy Spirit, for you, personally. And it's just as applicable right now, today, as it was for them back then. So we need to listen. We can't shut down. It's personal to us right now. It starts off, and I love this, it starts off, dear friends. That word is agapetos. And that means, it's from agapeo, which means to love, and agape, which is unconditional love born by the Spirit of God. So that's how, inspired by the Holy Spirit, not just to them, but to me. So I want you to think of this as a letter to you. He's saying, dear friends. He's saying, beloved ones. And another way, if some of your translations might say it, it means dearly loved. It means divinely loved ones. It means God's beloved. You can almost say you're God's favorite. But we can all say that if we're found in Christ. Isn't that great? It says, dear to the heart of God, and he means you. So this is how he starts this letter to you. Dear to the heart of God, you. Isn't that awesome? That's how much he loves you. Now, if you're like me, you know what a sinner we can be, right? But yet he still calls us friends, beloved, dearly loved. That to me is beautiful. And so the question is, when I read this, because it's inspired by the Holy Spirit to us, we're living in kind of a weird time. And so the question is, are all people then, if he's calling us friends, are all people then considered to be God's beloved friends? What do you think? No? Hope so? Some yes, some no? Okay. Well, the answer is yes and no. So congratulations, you're all right. Let me explain. I heard somebody say you would have to have a personal relationship with him. Let's see if that's true, shall we? 1 John 4:10 says, this is real love. And that love, again, is that word, that same word, agapeo. It means this is real love. Not that we love God, because that falls short, but that he agaped us and sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. That's beautiful. When we think of Jesus, you know, and when we think of those, even his name, you know, if you see that's made up of, I've got that little thing with nails. When he did that, took the nails on the cross, that was for you personally. If you were the only person, you were the only person on the planet, he would have died because he loves you. Doesn't that mind blown? Like I can maybe see, okay, Pastor Gary, sure. Pastor Darren? No. But yet he loved me that much. And so in John 15:13, but I want to balance that out, because in John 15:13, I want us to know, it says something really beautiful. It says, greater love has no one than this, right? That he lay down one's life for one's friends. So Jesus laid down his life for you on that cross. Does that make sense? He took those piercings that whoever would believe in him wouldn't perish, but could have everlasting life. He's extending his arms open wide because he loves you and he wants to be your friend. Isn't that awesome? It doesn't matter what kind of a sinner you are. I was going to make a joke and like point to somebody, but then might get mad at me afterwards. But really, it doesn't. God says, listen, if you want to repent, if you want to turn from that sin and turn to me, I want you to know you are welcome. You are beloved. I want to embrace you fully. That's amazing to me. And it should be amazing to you. But I want to balance it out. Because we live in a time where, hey, Jesus is my homeboy. Jesus is my pal. Jesus, so I can live however I want. The Bible doesn't say that. Listen, Jesus goes on to say in John 15:14, he says this. He says, hey, speaking to his disciples, you meet those dearly beloved, those who are following him, you are my friends. Beautiful. I am a friend of God. You remember that song? I am a friend of God. You guys might remember that. I'm like, man, thank you, Lord. He hasn't killed me yet. Oh, thank you, Lord. But he calls me friend, beloved. But he says, you're my friends. Listen to this. If you do what I command. See, we're living in a time where everybody wants the grace of God, but they don't care about the holiness of God. And let me tell you where that stems from. That stems right from the pit of hell. God is loving, but he is also holy. You can't separate those two. You can't call him Master and Lord and then live however you want to live. You can't live like you're on your way to hell on your knees saying, I'm worshiping the Lord of heaven. Does that make sense, everybody? It's, you are my friends. If you do, now, I would say Lisa is my friend. Well, she's more than that, just for the illustration. However, if I said, hey, you're my friend if you do what I command. Let me tell you, it wouldn't go well for me. But here's where I see, honestly, I see a lot of people right here. And where is he sitting on? Listen. Okay, the Lord just convicted me that I'm coming off frustrated. Now? Okay, the Lord gave me a scripture verse. Thank you. The Lord gave me a scripture verse as I was worshiping, and it's from Ezekiel. I'll just read it to you. You can turn there if you want, but I'm just going to read it to you real quick. This was the prophet Ezekiel when he was warning people. He spoke to Ezekiel, and he says, as for you, son of man, he's talking to Ezekiel. This is in Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 30. He says, as for you, son of man, your countrymen are talking together about you by the walls and at the doors of the houses, saying to each other, come, let us hear that the message that has come from the Lord. And then he goes on to say, my people come to you, God says, as they usually do, and they sit before you to listen to your words, but they do not put them into practice. He goes on to say, with their mouths they express devotion, but their hearts are greedy for unjust gain. Indeed, to them, you are nothing more than one who sings love songs with a beautiful voice and plays an instrument well, for they hear your words, but they don't put them into practice. Jesus said, if we hear his words and don't apply them to our lives, and don't put them into practice, we're like a foolish person who built a house on a sand. If you've ever tried to build a sandcastle, if you ever tried to do that at the beach, I love the beach. My kids love that. And they build a sandcastle right there on the beach. And sometimes it's really cool, elaborate moats and everything like that. Can I tell you what always happens? Listen, if you're a fence sitter, I want to tell you, listen, you're my friends, Jesus says, if you do what I command, right? Listen, this is what the Bible says, so I want to make sure it's clear, because I don't want you to be on this side of the fence. You can either pick the world's ways or God's ways. He's not going to make you. Listen, he loves you so much, he gives you a choice. You don't have to follow him. There's going to be consequences for that. It's up to you. It's up to me. But this is what he says. Jesus says, and for you experiencing God people, John 14:23 says, Jesus said, if anyone loves me, he's going to keep my word. I'm going to learn to do that. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him, and we will make our home with him or her right here in our hearts. God will come to live there, to take residence. You have to give him the open door to come in. Listen, a lot of people today, they want to add Jesus to their life like they want to add a yoga class. Do you know what I'm saying? I'm going to do yoga on Thursdays. I'm going to do the Jesus thing on Sundays. I'm going to work on my cars on Saturday. He's not an addition to your life. Respectfully, he is your life. Now listen, this isn't condemnation if you're not there yet, but God wants to challenge you. God's saying to you, man, I want you to understand, if anyone really loves me, they're going to keep my word. They're going to learn to do that. They're going to struggle and strive, and they're not going to do whatever they want, whenever they want, live however they want to live, and say, oh, God, forgive me. Who cares, right? Am I right? Jesus. Listen, if I wanted to marry my wife, and I say, well, I did, but anyway, and I say, I'm giving my life to you, honey. I'm devoted to you completely. And that's how it's going to be. I want to marry, and I want to be with you. I'm giving my life for you, and we're going to be married. And I got down on one knee, and I said, this is, I'm saying all the right words, and then we're going to get married. I'm going to be totally faithful to you forever. By the way, how many women can I sleep with before I get in trouble? What? Well, I'm just, okay, well, how many can I date? I mean, how many can I date, you know, like once a week? Or is it, let me tell you what, she would be thinking, you might be saying you love me, but your words and your actions, they're not matching. And it shows that I don't really understand love, even though I'm saying words, right? Listen, I want you to understand this, because this, the Bible says, this is in James chapter 4:4. Again, not a fun scripture verse. So Miss Neely was right. It says, hey, you adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity against God? And that just means like you're setting yourself up against God. You can be friends with the world. You can be. But you are choosing then to set yourself up as an enemy of God. Not as a friend, because a friend is going to want to learn. I love my wife, and I love to try to figure out how to please her. How can I help her? How do we get along better? Okay, how do we, you know, what is she like? What is she not like? You know, but if you want to be friends with the world, it means you're setting yourself up as an enemy against God. And it says, therefore, this is a doozy. It's in there. I don't know what else to say. Somebody's got to say it. This isn't going to make a church popular. Can I tell you what? It's not. People don't like this, and I understand it, but it's still in the Bible. And I'm accountable. If there's two people here, I would tell these two people the same thing. Somebody's got to speak it. It says, therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes a what? Lord, help me. I don't want to be a friend. It's all going to burn. I don't want to be part of that burn. Jesus, help me to walk with you. Empower me to walk with you. You know that story of that person walking in the mud that she shared? You know, he kept crying out to Jesus. I need to keep crying out to Jesus. So do you. I need the strength. Sometimes I can't do it. Lord, help me. Fill me up. Get my mind back on you. I'm being drawn towards the world. Help me reorient my thoughts, my heart. I'm weak. We all like sheep go astray. And I don't want to do that. Somebody has a question here. So right there. Sorry.
What exactly does it mean to be a friend of the world?
Choosing to reject the Lord and his commandments, and instead choosing to walk in the sinful lifestyles that the world has to offer. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, making it all about what you want instead of what he wants. See, my selfish nature wants everything for me when I want it. But my godly nature says, this by the Spirit of God, hey, no, I want you to put those things to death, even though they're difficult, and I want you to learn to follow me. In fact, Jesus, in that later on in that James 15 verse, I put it as a little kid in here because that's what we all are. We're just big kids. And it says, I no longer call you servants, because a servant doesn't know his master's business. Instead, I've called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I've made known to you. Listen, he's made known to you. It's all right here. That's why the enemy keeps you out of this book. And listen, if you have a struggle reading, can I tell you, I'll send you audio teachings. Well, Pastor, I'm more of a visual guy. I'll send you visual teachings. Whatever you want, we'll get it in your hand free. Well, I'm more of a book. We'll get you Christian books, solid, good teachers. Whatever you want, free, honestly. And we're not rolling in the dough. We are, spiritually speaking, we have treasures. But we'll give it to you, whatever it is that encourages you, strengthens your heart and mind in Jesus Christ. It goes on to say, although I was very eager to write to you about the salvation we shared, I felt compelled to write and urge you, and we'll talk about that in a minute, something different. This is in Jude 1 to 3. Okay? The word compelled right here, everybody see this word? It's enenke in Greek, and that means I felt compelled, like I felt it, like I had to do it. Like I was going to write to you, and what he's basically saying is my initial intention and my desire was to write to you about this new salvation that you found in Jesus Christ. I wanted to unpack all the richness of that calling, the love of the Father, the persevering, the providing, the protecting work of Jesus Christ, and all that salvation details. That's what I was going to do, but I felt like the Holy Spirit prompted me, compelled me to slam on the brakes, and it rerouted me to warn you. And he's going to warn us about false teachers. And thank God Jude listened to the Holy Spirit. How important is it to do that? To listen to the Holy Spirit. And he wrote what God wanted him to address instead of what he wanted to do. And now we have a Holy Spirit letter written to us. And he says, although I was very eager to write to you about the salvation we shared, I felt compelled to write you and urge you to what? Contend for the faith. Okay, so as a guy, I just like that. Okay, I don't know if the girls like it either, but contend for the faith, right? I love that word. That word contend, hold on one second. Epi agnizomai, okay? And it comes from an athletic word in Greek that means an intense, combative competition or a fight to the finish. Like a Greco wrestling match, right? Or like a boxing match, right? Or an MMA, for you guys who like MMA. That's what it's like, a personal combat, fight to the finish like type of thing. See, so I want you to contend for the faith. And it's two words. First word is epi. And it means like, it's an intensifier word. Like I said, if I say the earthquake happened, here was the center, or if I said this is the epicenter, right? It's an intensifier word. It's only here in Jude. And agnizomai, which means a struggle, a combat, or a contest. And so that's what he's saying here. I want you to contend for your faith. It's where we get the word agonize from, agonizomai. And the grammar indicates a present, continue one. You need to fight for the faith. In other words, you have an enemy coming against you continually. False teachers, false doctrine, spiritual warfare. You got it all, and it's coming for you. So you need to fight to contend for the faith. Right? Presently, right now, Jude's like an Old Testament Ezekiel. He's a watchman on the wall. And he's sounding the alarm to anybody who will listen that the enemy's going to attack. And we need to contend continually against these false teachers and teachings. It's going to be all over the place. Now, when I hear the word contend, I'm a movie guy. There's two things I think of. There's two things. The first one, okay, the first one's a little bit older, so somebody might not get this, but it's Marlon Brando. There's a movie called On the Waterfront. And for those of you a little bit older, Marlon Brando is in there, and he's like, he's basically now, he would take dives and stuff like that because his brother Charlie told him to do it. But he's like, at one point, he's like, Charlie, I could have been a contender. I could have been the champ. I could have been somebody. Right? You know, I could have been the champ. Or contend, I think of the Rocky movies. Okay. Now, is there anybody here who has not seen the Rocky movies? Because one, okay, all right, fair enough. All right, well, that's okay. In the Rocky movies, okay, the Italian Stallion, Rocky Balboa, Sylvester Stallone, starts off as basically he's kind of like a hit thug, bum, I don't know what you want to call it. Anyway, he rises up and he gets to fight. Apollo Creed was the first movie. I won't tell you how it ends, so don't worry. I would watch it, though. Okay, and anyway, so he rises up and then, I won't say, but by movie four, where this was, he fights, this is like America against Dolph Lundgren, against the Soviet Union, and this guy, Dolph Lundgren, is a beast. He is a beast. Have you ever seen him in the movie? He's looking, Sylvester Stallone's looking at him like this in a movie, want to hear a little fun fact? In real life, this was, back then they made the movies really, he wanted to make it realistic, so they had these 9-ounce gloves. I think they're 8 or 9 ounce, they're banned now. But anyway, he was in good shape, Sly, right? Sloan, he said, hey, I want you to hit me as hard as you can. You know, we'll make it look real. And he didn't want to do that, Dolph Lundgren. And Dolph Lundgren said, what was his name? Ivan Drago in the movie. Anyway, so what happened was, so they wanted to make it look real. And so he hit him for real, full force. Hit him so hard, it jarred his rib cage into his heart. He had to be Bay flighted in the intensive care unit for either 4 days or 9 days when this happened. And they said it was like he was hit. It's the same trauma that happens like when a bus would hit you. Anyway, this, okay, fun fact. So the bottom line, little fun fact. But at one point, this beast of a man goes down to, and he goes, he looks down at Sly Stallone, he goes, I must break you. And honestly, that's what the enemy is trying to say to you. I must break you. See, here's the deal. The outcome of this battle, you have to remember, right? You are called, loved, and kept. Not by your own strength, but by who? Jesus, the Father. Right. So, we just read that, right? In verse 1. So, you're called, loved, kept. So, here's the deal. You already have the victory in Jesus Christ. The only thing you have to do is stay in the ring. Now, Rocky was getting his butt beat a lot. I'm spoiling the whole plot for you. But the enemy wants to break you because he wants an empty ring. He just doesn't want you fighting. See, you're a powerhouse. If we can just screw you up enough in your mind, in your heart, with your finances, something's going to tick me off at church. I don't like what the pastor said. This whole thing, whatever. They're like, whatever. I don't know. Somebody there ticked me off. I don't like green hair. I don't like glasses. I don't like country hat. I don't like, the pastor's a little too hyper for me. Can we get an amen? Whatever it is. He just wants you out of the ring, or so that you're so beat down and worn out that you just don't fight anymore and you give up. You don't do that. Miss Neely said, and God's word promises, you will reap a harvest if you don't give up. And then there's a lot of teachers and churches that teach, hey, if you get saved, well, let me just tell you, it's a Disneyland experience. You'll never experience hardships or financial problems or get unhealthy in any way. You're just going to be healthy and wealthy. That's not what the Bible teaches. Listen, and then what happens is people get let down because eventually they're going to run into problems. But listen, Paul even said, listen, when we arrived in Macedonia, there was no rest for us. He said, we face conflict in every direction. I think Apostle Paul was a pretty spiritual guy, don't you? Okay, pretty anointed, right? But he faced conflict from every direction. And he had battles on the outside and then battles and fear on the inside. I was constantly battling, right? But, it says, God who encourages those who are discouraged, encouraged us by sending another brother by the name of Titus. So we're going to face battles. We're going to face struggles. We're going to face it. We just need to stay in the ring. It's okay to want to give up. Can I say that? It's not okay to give up. Lord, help me. I am tired today. Lord, help me. My flesh is weak today. Lord, help me right this second. Not only do we face all these physical battles and inner battles and outer battles, but we also face a spiritual battle. Ephesians 6:2 says our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities and the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Can I just tell you? Listen, that word pale for struggle is pale in Greek, and that means Greco-Roman wrestling one-on-one. It's like the enemy's coming for you. He's trying to take you down. But we need to agonizo. Contend. To this end, I strenuously, same word there as it was in Jude 1:3, contend. This is Paul saying this. To this end, I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me. Lord, fill me up. Give me enough for today. And he will. He says to, and this is in 1 Timothy 6:12. It's all about battling, fighting. This life is not prancy, posy, walk through Disneyland. That's not how it is. It's a battle and a fight. That's why you need your brothers and sisters around you. Because when you're weak, or when you're weak, she can say, honey, have you been in the Word lately? You haven't, have you? I noticed a change in your attitude. Do you know what I'm saying? That's a good thing. We need people to challenge us, to encourage us, to lift us up. I can't tell you the number of times I've been down, somebody here, you know, either challenge or encouragement or whatever. It's wonderful. I'm seeing a hand, the microphone, would you pass it back a couple? Thanks. And, but this, let me finish this first. But this fight, this 1 Timothy 6:12 says fight. Agonizo, that same word. Fight the good fight of faith. Contend for the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Fight that good fight of faith. Contend. Yes.
In John 16:33, after Jesus had given all of his final instructions before he went to the cross, he says this. He says, these things I have spoken to you so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world.
Yes.
And that word world is cosmos.
Yes.
That means the totality of everything that was ever created.
Yes.
He has overcome it.
And where is that peace found? Only in?
In Jesus.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen, brother. And listen, it says, the Bible says, have nothing to do with godless myths or old wives' tales. Don't get distracted. But he says, rather, what does it say? Train what? First off, you coming here and getting taught the Bible verse by verse, book by book, is good. It's really good. But that's not. You need more. I need more. Somebody just told me recently, they're in the Word every day because I send them a scripture picture. Now, don't get me wrong. That scripture picture is good. If you receive that from the church, it's to encourage you. It's meant to do that. But that doesn't mean you're in the Word every day. We need to be going, just pick a book in the New Testament. Ask and pray. Start in chapter 1, verse 1. Read a chapter a day. Ask the Lord to renew your mind and your heart to strengthen you. It says, train yourself to be godly. I can't do it for you. You guys are taking the Experiencing God courses. You're being blown away by what God's doing in your life. I love it. Continue on. Men's Bible studies, women's Bible studies, anything you want to equip you, we'll provide it for you free. But you have to train yourself to be godly. And when you're in training, that takes time, doesn't it? So don't get discouraged. Don't get down. Keep practicing, just like you would for a team or whatever. It says, for physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things. And listen to this. This is in 1 Timothy 4, 7 and 8. Holding promise for both this present life and the life to come. You're training yourself to be godly, not only for here, but for there. So, for the kingdom. Now, you have to ask yourself, all my illustrations are boxing related this time, just so please forgive me, because that's the contending, okay, for the faith, right?
That's a good image.
Thanks. So, if you don't like movies, you're probably hating this, but the bottom line is, remember that, what was that dude's name? The trainer. Rocky. You know, Mickey. Who said that? Mickey. Mickey, yeah, come on, Rocky. So one thing you have to ask is, are you in training? You know, listen, this is in 1 Corinthians 9, 25 to 27. It says, all athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away. But we do it as Christians for an eternal prize. So I run with purpose. God's got a purpose and a plan for me with every step. I'm not just shadow boxing in the air. I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. I don't want to get up early and read the Bible. I want to sleep in and not do that. Sometimes I just want to listen to my 80s tunes in my Jeep, and there's nothing wrong with that. But other times, you know what? I can put on a teaching. Or Moody Radio, or I could go for a walk, just shut down. But you know what? I could also listen to a good Bible teaching. Strengthened, renewed. Because there's a battle going on. And how do you train? I don't know if you remember the movie, you know, Rocky would go in the meat plant and he'd, you know.
Tenderize it.
Yeah, tenderize it. Thank you. I'm trying to think of, anyway, that's good. Didn't have a lot of money back then, so. But it says, all scripture, anytime you're in the Word, and you're not just getting it here, if you're allowing it to seep down into your heart, hiding it in your heart, it says that all scripture, it's God-breathed or God-inspired, some translations say, and it's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Imagine if Rocky got in the ring without any training. First minute down. Doesn't matter what his heart was. My heart was to be the victor. My heart was to... Listen, if you don't have that training, you haven't disciplined yourself. Look, God wants us, you and me, to contend for the victory so that we can say, like in 2 Timothy 4, 7, this is a whole other sermon. I could do a whole sermon just on this, but I'm not going to. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith.
Amen.
So fight. Contend. You can do it, Rocky. Finish the race. To he who overcomes, or to she who overcomes. It says, goes on to say in Jude 1:3, and to contend for the faith that was once entrusted to God's holy people. And that faith doesn't mean, oh, I have faith that I believe in rocks or a boot. It doesn't mean a personal belief. It means the essential truths of the gospel of Jesus Christ that all born-again Christians hold in common as contained in the Bible. I feel like I have to write that just so Otherwise, people want it to mean whatever it means. But that's what the faith means. Contend for the faith. And it says, for once and for all delivered to us from God through Jesus Christ and made known to us in his word. You've got these letters from him teaching us how to live life. It says in Peter that he's given you everything you need for life and godliness in this book. Take the time. Make the time. Read it. Hear it. Listen to it. Receive it. Right? And it says this faith, right, once and for all delivered to us, is not to be added to like a Pharisee. Well, if you really want to be spiritual, we're going to add to the word. Like, this is not to be taken away from like the liberal churches do. Not to do that, so that, or even molded to suit our generation's culture or current worldview. Listen, if the world is telling you, I just read a report on the news, and I love our military, but the Air Force, this was a headline news just a couple of days ago, is now taking, this is from the Air Force, that division. I know who it's, I'm trying to not be political, but the bottom line is, they stopped, they don't want mom and dad being used anymore. They don't want mom and dad in. Even though God said in the beginning, you know, Jesus said, hey, God created the male and female. Oh, we don't want to do that anymore. We don't want to support that. So we don't want to, we don't even want to call them mom and dad anymore. They're training them to say, now it's going to be, you have to say your birthing person. So when our sons bring home a lovely Christian girl, they can say, he can say, oh, this is one of my birthing people. That's ridiculous. What in the world? So if the culture or whatever is telling you one thing and God's word says something else, I don't care if everybody's against you. You go to the word and find out what it says. And it says entrusted right here. See this word, entrusted? That word is paradidomai, and that means alongside or to give over to one hands. It's like I'm putting, if I had my son and I said, hey, Ezekiel, I'm putting him over, I'm entrusting him, and I put him into your hands. That means I'm entrusting him with. That's what he said, I'm entrusting you. You, me. You can be lazy, I'm entrusting you. Pay attention. Hear the words. Fight. Learn. Fight for it. He's given you, if I said to Sue, we're leaving on a missions trip, and I'm going to be gone for a month. And I said, I'm entrusting you with my children. That means I'm giving you something precious, and I have so much respect and love that I'm putting them into your care. He's saying, I've entrusted you with the gospel of Jesus Christ. He has chosen you, loved you, and kept you so that you could be on mission for him. What are some ways, I'm going to just shout them out to me. What are some practical ways that you and I can contend for the faith? What's a practical way? Prayer? All right, we could be praying for people all the time. Everybody, if you don't know who to pray for your pastor, I'll take it. I need it. Pray for my family. What else? How else can I contend for the faith? Witness to people? Absolutely. Share your faith. Share what God has done in your life personally. Let them know there's a difference between just showing up at church and a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. Let them know. What are some other practical ways? Show it by your actions. Amen, brother. That's, you're right. Show it's a walk and not just a talk. Show them there's been a change in your life. Amen. Have the courage to disagree, right. And you can do this gently and lovingly, but you can still stand firm and immovable. Right. You don't have to be a jerk about it. You don't have to be condescending about it, but you also don't have to move for it. Right. You can read the word every day. Listen to Christian music. Ask for Bible teachings. If you want anything, we'll give it to you. Grow in the Lord. Share your testimony. Somebody shared their testimony already. Wasn't that wonderful? How long have I been teaching you? All right. Well, let's get to this next verse real quick then. It says in the next verse in Jude chapter 1:4, for certain men, or some of you translations, it could be men or women, certain individuals whose condemnation was written about long ago have secretly slipped in among you. And that word in Greek is peraisduno, and it means to creep in unaware, to enter stealthily, secretly. And the enemy does that sometimes in churches. He'll do it on Christian TV, on radio. I don't even watch Christian TV anymore. There's a few, but most of them, honestly, there's so much bad doctrine, I don't even know where to start. On radio and books, and that, be careful what you read and who you listen to. There's just so much of it out there, and people don't know the word for themselves, which is why I'm always trying to get you to read the word for yourselves so you can know what it says and be discerning. And know to say, that doesn't sound right. Wait, I remember what it says here. I remember what it says there. Listen, the Bible says in Matthew 24, 10 through 11, this is a New Living Translation, Jesus said, many will turn away from me, Jesus said. Talking about the last days. And they'll betray and hate each other. And many false prophets or false teachers will appear and deceive many people. In fact, if you see the culture accepting something, I would look twice. It says, it goes on to say in Matthew 24, 11 to 13, it says, that many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because of the lawlessness, because of people not obeying the word, lawlessness will abound and the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures, who perseveres, who contends to the end shall be saved. If you don't know, we're living in a time that's not so good. My wife hates the scripture picture. I love it. Because it says, and this is, if you're wondering where it is, it's in 1 Timothy 4:1. It says, the Holy Spirit tells us clearly that in the last times of the last days, some will turn away from the true faith and they'll follow deceptive spirits and teachings that come from demons. Listen, so now does that mean the person standing up at the on the TV is a demon? No, maybe not. Maybe. But more likely they're just influenced by demonic forces to tell you something that's not true. I love what Spurgeon had to say about this verse. He said, Satan knows right well that one devil in the church can do far more than 1,000 devils outside her bounds. And it goes on to say, these people that slipped in, they're godless men who change or who pervert the grace of our God into a license for immortality. No, into a license for immorality, and they deny Jesus Christ, our only sovereign Lord. So godless men individuals just means that no matter what their outward appearance is or fancy words or whatever, they disregard God and they disregard his word in their lives. It doesn't matter what you say. It more matters how you're walking, right? You're not just walkie-walkies. You're supposed to be walkie-talkies for the Lord. And this change or pervert the grace of God into a license for immorality. Everybody, most everybody has a license, driver's license, right? That driver's license, right, gives you the ability, the freedom to go and drive a vehicle, right? Wonderful, okay? These godless men change that license of grace into a license for immorality. And and that word for immorality, it usually, in the Greek sense, it usually is in the sense of sensual sins, like sexual immorality. But it can also be used as anti-biblical teaching, when the truth is denied and lies are taught without shame. So basically it's saying, instead of receiving the grace of God's forgiveness and freedom to live a Christian life in holiness, they reinterpret God's grace, they reinterpret the forgiveness of God as a freedom to indulge in all sorts of ungodly behavior. So it would go something like this. You know, I know the Bible says don't get drunk with wine, but instead be filled by the Holy Spirit. I know it says that, but you know what I'm saying. I'm forgiven, so let's just get drunk, right? Am I right? Let's just make, this is what we're going to do. Oh, I know the Bible says, you know, God wants us not to be sexual anymore, but that's so old-fashioned. Oh, I know that there's, God says we're not supposed to have adultery or to give in to that homosexual lifestyle. Oh, I know God's word says that clearly, but you know what? That's so old-fashioned. We don't want to listen to those things. I know it says that there's one way to be saved through Jesus Christ, but that's so narrow. Am I right? Am I right? I can do, hey, I'm forgiven, right? So I can do whatever I want. You know what I'm saying, all right? Right? God forgives, huh? Covered by grace. That tells me that he didn't understand what grace was to begin with. I am just so thankful that I'm saved. Listen, even though I mess up, I'm just so thankful. I'm like, oh God, you're so merciful to me. Thank you. I want to know how to please you, Lord. I want to know how I can serve you better. Right? But these godless people, and you're going to find them all over, they're going to slip in and they're just going to say, don't worry about it. Blood covers it. Live however way you want to live. That's not what the Bible teaches. You're my friend, Jesus said, if you obey what I command. And they, lastly, deny Jesus Christ, our only sovereign and Lord. So basically, when they start to let go of things morally, as a license for sin, using God's grace, right? Then they start to affect us doctrinally, and they deny Jesus. They give him the lip service, but he's not Lord of their life. And folks, if Jesus isn't the Lord of everything in your life, then really is he the Lord of anything in your life? The goal is to bow the knee in every area, not just areas that's convenient for you. Okay, well, whatever it is for you might be different than her and different for him. But he wants us to bend the knee to everything he says, right? It's not like McDonald's where, hey, I'd like some McBlessings, right? And I'd like some McFinances and some a large, big encouragement, right? And you know, Oh, hold the patience. No patience, please. I don't want to have to deal with that. I don't have the time. You know, God wants us to bend the knee in every single area of our lives. And so that's, honestly, that's the challenge for all of us, really. He's telling you to beware. He's telling you to be on guard. How many minutes? All right, I'll stop. Got some great slides.
It's just odd that one of the biggest questions on the planet is, what are we here for? The answer is right there. We're here to serve God.
Yes.
You know, and the whole world's got it backwards.
Yes. But you know what? Yes, I agree with you 100%. But you know what? I had it backwards. I went to church for a long time. I didn't understand that. I was just a churchgoer. That's not a life-giving relationship with Jesus, and I don't want you to miss it. Feel like we should give an altar call there, Mr. Don? You want to come up and give an altar call? Come on up, brother. Hey, I'll need that microphone. Could you pass that up? Thanks so much.
Me give up the mic?
I know. Mark Manley and a microphone. Let me turn that on for you, brother. Thanks, man. Then if you'd close us out, too, in prayer, that'd be awesome. Okay?
We do thank you, Father, for the ability to come before you humbly, God. We just ask that anyone here that doesn't know you personally in their heart, that they would just let down whatever's holding them back, God. Whatever happened in the past, that's keeping them from coming to you with their whole heart. You say if a man believes in his heart and confesses with his mouth, he will be saved, God. And we just thank you that today is the day of salvation. Now is the time. And that there's someone here that needs to know you personally in their heart, that they would find another believer, a pastor, or and just let them know that they prayed this prayer. We say, Lord, we know you came and you died for our sins. Accept us, God. Accept us into your family. Forgive us for our sins and help us to turn and to come to you as a child of the King, God, that you will receive us unto yourselves and that we could live for you the rest of our days knowing that you are for us and not against us, God. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. We thank you for Pastor Darren and his teaching in Jude, God. That it would help us to do our very best to continue to try to walk for you and with you. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.